Join the Wall Street Journal for the WSJ Risk and Compliance Forum happening online May 9th. Together with experts, we'll unpack the latest Russia sanctions, data privacy laws, climate risks, and more. You'll take away a playbook of practical advice that you can use and implement on day one. Register now at wsj.com/risk and save 20% on your ticket using code PODCAST.
Here's your money briefing for Tuesday, May 2nd. I'm Dion Rabowan for The Wall Street Journal, filling in for J.R. Whalen. Consumers are fighting back against subscriptions that seem to be creeping higher in price every month. But balancing your budget doesn't have to mean going cold turkey on your favorite streaming or delivery subscription service.
Every month or every quarter, evaluate the subscriptions that you're still paying for. See if there are freebies that are good alternatives for stuff you're paying for. You can save a lot of money in the long run.
We'll talk to WSJ personal tech columnist Nicole Nguyen after the break.
Have you ever heard a voice in your head telling you to ask for a raise, start a business, or switch careers? Maybe you should. This episode is brought to you by the new book, Spark, 24 Concepts to Ignite, Unstick, or Supercharge Your Work Life. Learn more at sparkbook.com.
New data show that over the last 6 months, cancellations have outpaced new subscriptions for digital memberships. But getting out of the subscription cycle may not be as painful as you think. And joining me is Nicole Nguyen, personal tech columnist for The Wall Street Journal. Nicole, you've written a guide to pushing back against subscription price creep. So let's define that. What is subscription price creep?
I've been getting a lot of emails lately about digital subscriptions that are going up. Most recently, Strava, which is a fitness tracking app, sent me an email saying, my subscription was going up from $59 a year to $80. And I think that if you subscribe to a streaming service, you've probably gotten emails with this kind of subscription price creep. It's a price that adjusts a little bit every year, and it doesn't seem like it's a dramatic increase. But over several years, and because of the recurring nature of these costs, they can really rack up.
And why do we need to push back against that?
Because we can. And also because a lot of people who sign up for subscriptions aren't sometimes aware that they're still subscribed to a thing. And also there's a lot of friction built into unsubscribing from a lot of these recurring costs. So the most important thing to do is actually make sure you're using the stuff that you're paying for.
I think everybody probably has a story like yours, right? Where they were surprised with some news, as you say in the beginning of your article, from the company. Why are we seeing so much subscription price creep?
On the content side for streaming services, the cost of content is going up because labor costs and economic pressures, even companies like Strava, which is a fitness tracking app, their costs are going up too. For a lot of other digital services, they maybe haven't raised their prices in a really long time and are deciding to now. There are various reasons why, and it all leads to us paying a little bit more for these kinds of services.
You've got a 5-step guide to pushing back, though. But rather than ask you what the 5 steps are, I'll ask you why you felt it was important to write a step-by-step guide in the first place.
I think that our digital lives are inundated by subscriptions. My Plant app, for example, has a pro version that allows you to pay $1.99 a month for advanced plant tips. These kinds of recurring costs are absolutely everywhere, and especially hidden in places like app stores. And so if you can every month or every quarter evaluate the subscriptions that you're still paying for, see if there are freebies that are good alternatives for stuff you're paying for, you can save a lot of money in the long run. There are also great apps that can automatically comb your financial statements and find recurring costs for you. One app I really like is called Rocket Money, and it did a fantastic job of finding a few subscriptions that I would rather I didn't know, I didn't remember that I had, and I unsubscribed right away. So thank you, Rocket Money. And Mint also does this, but I found that Rocket Money does it a little bit better. You have to be okay with handing over your financial credentials to the third-party service that Marka Money uses to integrate your bank statements and such.
You know, the fact that there are entire apps or companies based on helping consumers get away from these things gets to it being so hard for consumers to get away from or get out of these subscription services that in some cases can end up eating all of our paychecks. Why is that so difficult?
Yes, and in fact, Rocket Money has a bill negotiation service, and I talked to a co-founder of Rocket Money who gave me fantastic tips on the type of bills that you can negotiate, and those are your bills for cell service, cable internet, home security, and satellite radio. He said that these industries have such a high customer acquisition cost that calling and even threatening to cancel may get you a better rate. And oftentimes, cell service companies, for example, will roll out a new plan offering more data at a deeper discount and won't roll over old customers to that new plan. So just calling and making sure you're getting the best rate is an easy way to lower your bills.
What was the most surprising thing you found in your reporting for this story?
How hard it was to find the cancel button in most places, and also that the cancel button sometimes triggered a better rate for that service. Instead of just letting you go, they'll say, well, do you want to stay on for just $2 a month instead of $18? And that was an easy yes for me. So I stayed with some services, even though I had intended to cancel.
When you were reporting this story, you talked to a subscription pricing consultant who works for companies like Microsoft and Netflix. She said that a lot of businesses count on optimism, and I thought that was fascinating. What did she mean by that, and how does that optimism work to the benefit of companies more than consumers a lot of times?
She talked a lot about aspirational subscriptions. So in my life, that would be Duolingo, the foreign language app. There are subscriptions like language learning or fitness that if you unsubscribe, it feels like you're giving up on your progress towards a language learning or fitness goal. And those subscriptions can be the most dangerous because we're unwilling to cancel them.
Was there anything you learned in reporting out this article that you've already applied to your own life? Did you get a lower price on that fitness app?
Well, I got a lower price on certain subscriptions, but I also used my library card to get a lot of fantastic benefits. So there are some great free alternatives to streaming services. For example, Libby, which is available for a lot of public library cardholders in the US, has fantastic Academy Award-winning movies and great critically acclaimed TV shows. So I definitely recommend you check it out with your public local library card. And also, there are some great software freebies. LibreOffice, for example, is an alternative to Microsoft. Microsoft 365 now has a pretty hefty subscription. Or you can switch to something as simple as Google Docs, Sheets, or Slides. And on the fitness side, there's a lot of fantastic content on YouTube, but you have to be willing to sit through an ad or two and spend more time hunting down that quality content.
All right. That was WSJ personal tech columnist Nicole Nguyen. Thanks for being with us. And that's Your Money Briefing. I'm Dion Raboan for The Wall Street Journal.